And welcome to Google Hangouts, CPD for Change. This is a kind of one of the first broadcasts between people who are in different places. So I'm Leon Sish. I'm an independent ICT consultant. I work with lots of different organizations. And I would really like the people who are in the chat room, and I see other people are beginning to join. I'd really like people to start to introduce themselves. Then I'll start talking about Hangouts, and Theo will start talking about Hangouts, and then we'll have a general reflective discussion on how maybe they could be used for CPD. So, Theo, do you want to start telling us who you are?
Could I also just say, Leon, I mean, it's quite informal, so if people want to sort of ask a question in the middle of stuff, feel free to do so and make a comment. Yeah, I'm Theo Kutchell, and I'm an educational researcher and consultant. I do a lot of work with University of Hull and also independently. Current interest, really, at the moment, are things like ecosystems for learning, and that covers everything from video to digital content, digital archives, and how they're all pulled together by stuff like this to make a bigger and more open space for learning.
Joe, would you like to say who you are?
Yep, absolutely. I'm Joe Dale. I'm an independent languages consultant living on the Isle of Wight, which is where I'm broadcasting live from now. And I've taught for 13 years. I've been speaking at conferences since 2005, and I've just come back from a seven-week trip to Australia when I went all over the country training language teachers on the use of technology, which is my main area of expertise. And I'm very excited to be part of this Hangout tonight, Leon, so thank you for inviting me.
No problem. James.
Hello, I'm James Abella. I'm head of IT in a small school in Suffolk, and I'm also Google certified.
Okay, and Dominic, would you like to introduce yourself? Can you hear us?
Yes, I can. Hi, I hope there's no echo. I don't have my headset on. My name is Dominic Lukesh, and I work for Dyslexia Action. I'm the learning technology specialist there, and I work a lot with teachers. I used to actually be a Czech teacher as well, so I've been doing technology and languages and technology and a lot of work on accessible technologies recently. So that's kind of where I come in. I just saw this link pop up on the Miranda link discussion, so I thought I'd pop in because I'm actually just right now working on CPD issues. So I think that's very relevant.
Yeah, I think that's the main thing here is for people to sort of try and do different tasks as we're going along. If you want to put a particular link in, put it into the chat, which is on the left. I'll talk about the way that this goes, how Hangouts works, and then Theo is going to talk a little bit about why it's important to have annotation, conservation, archiving. Because the first thing that struck me about this is when I saw it at the educational conference, which Google did, and they had something like 40 different very, very intensive seminars all on the same day. Now, how on earth are you going to be able to process 40 seminars at the same time? It's going to be a very difficult thing to do because you're going to have too much video, too much real-time video, so you're going to have to annotate and you're going to have to put it into things. Theo, is it you who's typing? Because the typing is really, really loud, and that's part of the problem. We're going to have to work this out as we go along anyway.
I have the answer to that, Leon.
Yep.
Click mute if you got
okay. Perfect. All right. That's it. We're learning it as we go along, basically. So what I've discovered with Hangouts is the fact that, or it occurred to me that it would be the perfect device to have two layers of continual professional development, rather than have I don't know if you saw the Ofsted inspector talking in the Indy today, saying he goes on the internet and looks up specialist sites that sort of go on about teachers and SLTs and things. I thought, well, why don't we just break it down and take control ourselves? At a national level, we can aggregate meetings like this that are of importance, that maybe have got something to teach to people, expertise that people can have, or maybe at very local level, maybe hidden, private ones, because this is live, it's there for anyone to see, those ones can be out in real time as an exploratory CPD device or a number of different ways. I've seen a lot of musicians starting to use them. They can be used any amount of ways, but for me, in order to build a video archive, this is a very strong way of doing that, because it's immediately archived and it's put up. And if you take the salient points from the chat room, you can actually put those in the side and put them into the description of the Hangout later. And people can jump to those points immediately because they're timed. So you're able to then take the nuggets of conversation in real time and take people's expertise and reflections and almost aggregate them in a way. Now, I don't know what people think about that. Can I just hand over to Theo now to sort of talk about what he does and the things he does with video and the importance of curation and archiving, which seems to be, once we start getting this resource out there, there's going to be thousands of hours of this kind of stuff. So you're not going to be able to find the nuggets easily enough if they are out there, even if you did want to do this. So then how can you be smart about how you use it?
Okay, Lee. Sorry, it's Dominic. Did you want to say something, Dominic?
I was just going to type it in the chat is that we do a lot of webinars using GoToWebinar, and we record some of them and make them public. I just posted the link in the chat, and that has been an incredible success for us. And we have, you know, normally when you do a little session in a place somewhere, you'll get 50 people if you're really lucky, if it's in London. If it's somewhere more regional, you get 20, but we get hundreds. You know, we got 200 on a webinar a couple of weeks ago, and normally we get about 100, you know, 50, 60 to 100 people. And the response we always get from people, it's their first time, and they say, oh, we would have never been able to get any sort of CPD, any learning about these things ever without something like this being there. So I think, yeah, I think it's an incredibly powerful tool, even though when we tried to roll it out internally as a CPD tool, it wasn't nearly as successful because people were compelled to do it, and every little technical glitch was like this massive thing. You know, oh, I didn't work out so hard, and I had to do this and that. Whereas if people go there because they choose to, they recognize that, you know, things happen, but they're grateful for anything. So it's an immense tool, but depending on the context, I guess.
Yeah, and also the thing about this is, as you noticed, as someone starts speaking, it automatically switches the cameras, which you don't have to do any post-production, which is an amazing thing for me as a video producer. So you link that to links within the timeline, a bit like Flash Meeting. You can actually then focus in on specific things people have said. Anyway, I'll pass over to you, Theo, to take it on.
Okay, then, Liam. What really struck me when I first saw Google Hangout was really good. There's a lot of things we could do. And between this, we started using the feature called Extended Hangouts, which meant we could do things like screen share. So I'm just going to screen share now, and you'll actually see what I've got on my screen. And I think this has some quite useful affordances. So I can, for example, click, and I'm going to now click, and I've got in my browser, if you can imagine it, I can see all my windows I've got open, plus the whole desktop. I'm just going to show you the whole desktop. And there may be a time lag, so somebody can just let me know when that appears.
It's up, I can see it.
Is it in the main window, or do you have to click on it?
I can see it in my window. It's gone now, but it's in your window.
Right.
There we go. Yes, it's switched again, but it's in your window. You have to talk over it, and it will come up.
That's
in front
right.
of us.
Okay, if I talk now, is that screen share coming up? And I'm now going to change it to a specific window. So now you should see
Keep talking, Theo.
Now you should see my YouTube set playlists I've created on YouTube. And this is what I wrote about. One of the most fascinating things was that you could actually integrate YouTube videos into these and discuss them. So, for example, if we were going to look at something,
now we would have to click on our YouTube to see that video in real time.
Sorry, Leo?
We would have to click on that video you're playing on your desktop in on our menu system to see it in real time. But if you want us to see your pictures, you've got to keep talking to show us your screencast.
Okay, I shall keep talking even, and I shall go to my public information films and play something that's rather funny.
Sorry, Leon, I was just going to say, we've played this around with the panels before. I think there's a way you can make that one screen as an organizer. You can make it permanent for a while. There may be some buttons.
I haven't got that far yet. So.
So at the bottom, when you see the different videos, if you click on one on the one that Theo is sharing, I think
it's permanent.
So it pauses the automatic switching.
I've got it.
So that's a screen share feature, which is quite useful. I've got to stop sharing that now. And I've got to copy that YouTube URL. And I've got to click on the top where it actually says YouTube. And it recommends some videos, but I've got to click in the YouTube. And so now this should...
So if we click on YouTube ourselves, we can see the same video in synchronous time.
I can talk over that video at appropriate points.
Everyone will have to push to talk if you want to talk over it, if you see the green button there.
Can people see that video?
Yeah, that's like, it's like Mystery Science Theater. It's you could have people commenting at the bottom. That's pretty neat.
Yeah, it's a really good feature. And it works with different types of documents. I've got to stop sharing that screen now.
Yeah, could I just say something about playlists? I mean, I've been doing some research into equipment for Google Hangouts On Air, the best microphones, the best video cameras, the best sort of production value things that you can have. And I've been looking through, 100, 200 films on YouTube, and using playlists as archival retrieval sort of stepping stones or waymarkers for resources is a really excellent way of using playlists.
Yeah, I think there's a playlists feature in YouTube is really a great way of curating videos, and edit, and you can build up complete course learning materials, but you can move them about, you can have videos in more than one playlist, you can really tailor and customize and keep track. So the YouTube Video Manager that it's a part of.
Can I just add, I'm going to give you a little link with the instructions for that.
Mm-hmm.
This is more for the basics.
So, can I ask? I mean, how do you use the sharing of the playlists? Do you just create them for you, or how do you kind of do collaboration on them somehow? Because I've used them myself, I just never found them all that useful for myself. I mean, for some reason, I always, with the search being so good, if I need to, I just kind of put things together. And
I've been researching music, electronic music, in the last 3 or 4 weeks. So I can either make my playlist public or I can make it private. And all the videos that I thought were really useful in terms of kit and the way people have done tutorials or other things, I've then put on the playlist. People can add to that playlist, I think. I'm not sure.
Yes, you can share.
Yeah.
And you build up that resource.
And you can also share the playlist to things like Google+. Now, I've put my share list up in the window again. And I mean, we've got things like the natural world, the new aesthetics, hidden world design, shape of things to come, which is one I'm quite interested in, which is sort of videos that were made in the past. So, you know, 50s, 40s, oops, videos that were made in the past that sort of reflect, you know, predictions of how things are now. And I think we can learn a hell of a lot from looking at historic material, whether the maps, videos, documents, text, and sort of extrapolating how they saw the world and how it actually fits in with now. And that's I find playlists really useful for curating that type of resource, because there is so much there, and when you search it, you don't actually record it, annotate it, or stick it somewhere. If you have to search for it again, even with a keyword search, you can often be sort of half or maybe hundreds of results returned. So it is very helpful. And of course, when you made the share list, it's an embed link that can be embedded and shared somewhere else.
And it depends on the granularity. If there's 10 seconds within that video and you can be bothered, let's put it that way, to find out where those 10 seconds are, there is the timing feature within YouTube where you can jump straight to that as well. So that kind of granularity within video resources, especially as there's going to be absolutely sort of hours and hours and hours and hours of this stuff coming out, is a really useful feature. So Google Hangouts like this can be put into playlists, can be archived, can be turned into CPD, can be turned into communities of practice for people to have events around, or to look at modeling, or to look at expertise, or to look at Teach It TTA, all that kind of thing. It's a whole new way of doing things. I don't know what people think about that.
And also, you can actually annotate on top of the video and get it to jump, so you can actually make a contents bit at the beginning.
That's quite it. I mean, it seems to me a no-brainer that this kind of resource, for the time being, can be used outside of institutions, because that's not going to come into institutions or Google Apps for schools until it's 100% secure. But in the meantime, I think we should be building a CPD resource, rather than just having things like TV shows or whatever, proper reflective discussion around serious topics.
I just created a quick playlist again. I mean, I have some old ones, and I can see a way that I see a way of sharing it. But is there a way that I can have others add things to my playlist? I can share.
You can certainly copy it, and I think then you can add too.
Yeah, and of course, playlists can be public or private, so you can share that, as James says, copy the link, and you could keep the same name or change your name and build right. Your own from there, so it's transferable?
Right.
Yeah.
Right, I'm just looking at it right now, I'm sharing the screen, and if I click on the sharing of the playlist, I can embed it or email it. Doesn't seem to be a way I could make it to somebody so somebody can add to it.
Have you looked in your settings, your basic settings? Because it may be at the back there somewhere.
Okay.
But rather than get into the granularities of that, I'd really like I'd like to take this on a bit to think about. This is an open resource at the moment. The one we're in is a live hangout. People can be watching or lurking and seeing what's happening or twittering about it or whatever. It has all sorts of implications for identity, for professional collegiate behavior, for the way people go about resourcing, the way people can go about pushing out expertise, modeling. It seems to me that there's lots of things that have become very transparent to people very quickly where they couldn't have had that before. And that's where the revolution is coming, because it is not to do with the tools, but this particular tool allows you to actually broadcast and amplify that expertise much faster, much further than you could before. I'd just be interested to see what other people think about that.
Well, to me, what's exciting about this is the fact that Google Hangout at the moment anyway is free, and presumably it will carry on being free.
Google can do a similar... Have confirmed. Google have confirmed. Google have confirmed they intend it to stay free.
Okay. So from the point of view that you can do similar things with, say, Collaborate, Illuminate, you know, WebEx or whatever, but you always have to pay money to do those sorts of things, even with MFO, even with Flash Meeting. You know, you don't have the same facilities compared to what we're seeing right now. So I think it's very exciting. I mean, I put in the chat earlier that since 2009, the MFL community have been taking part in these MFL Flash meetings. In other words, every couple of months we meet together using the tool Flash Meeting that Leon's mentioned already, and it's all very automated in the sense that we have a wiki that we set up, that we have a new page per session. People write down their name, the school that they work in or the organization that they represent, and then we put together agenda points. And then normally it's 2 hours on a Monday night, half past eight till half past ten. We discuss, you know, the issues of the day, and we've been doing that. We've done, I think, something like 17 or 18 that we've done so far. We did one on Monday. And I think when you first start doing it, you have this sort of, good practice or etiquette or whatever within the Flash meeting. You work out, you know, the sorts of formalities and that sort of thing. But once people were okay about how it all worked and what have you, then, it's been an absolutely fantastic, wonderful resource. But I think that the difference between, say, that and this is the fact that you can, you know, do things like share your screen and that sort of thing. So the point that you were making a moment ago, Leon, saying how you could use it for modeling, that's very, very exciting because because it's free, it means that it opens up other possibilities. So instead of maybe, I don't know, recording a screencast and what have you, and then publishing that on the blog and linking, giving people the link to that, you can actually model it there and then for free, which I think is is very exciting. And when people know it's free, then they're more likely to go for it, I think. Otherwise, you have to have, you know, an institution or have you paying a lot of money every year to have an account, and it's a lot more complicated. Whereas with this, if it becomes, you know, mainstream, which I'm sure it will do, then people are more willing to have a go if they know that it's not going to cost them anything. All they need is an internet connection and a microphone and a webcam, and that's it. Yeah.
And that's what we're scaffolding for people now. And also, you could take any one of these windows, and it could be up on a whiteboard to a room full of people and being facilitated by one person. So you could amplify this to maybe 100 people in various parts of the world.
Mm-hmm. We're actually going to use this in our next Miranda mod, which is in Prague. I'll see if I can put the link up now, and we'll be testing it out in Anger there, so I'm going to stick the link in the chat. And the other thing I was quite interested in was what Joe was saying, the comparisons with Flash Meeting. When Hangouts came out first, the only thing, you know, that I thought was missing was the ability to record it, because you couldn't record the Flash Meeting, but now you can record it more. And when it's finished, not only can you see the replay on YouTube, but you can edit, annotate, remix that on YouTube. You can give your Hangout a Creative Commons license if you wish to do so, to allow others to remix. So it's really, there's no end really, that you start to build something, then let others build on it.
Yeah, and my point really is that if we start at the beginning and there is an infrastructure for CPD, an agreed protocol or set of protocols whereby you can build local and national hubs and expertise networks within all the different subject areas, cross-curricular or whatever, then you've got more chance of actually showing people how to do the job properly, rather than having something like Ofsted come in, do a summative condemnation. I know that's a bad way to say things, but to have come in and do a summative snapshot inspection, which has no absolute meaning at all to anyone. What you need is mentoring. What you need is formative assessment, ways of moving things on, good practice, showing people how to do the job well. And surely that's what this one of these tools is about. Surely this is one of the solutions we could think about, but it needs to be thought in terms of pulling together at grassroots, but also at senior management level in that sense. I think the only drawback is that we're very at home with performing or talking in front of video. Maybe a lot of people aren't.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think it's a question of, you know, winning hearts and minds, isn't it, for sure. I mean, the reason that we first started the Flash meetings, you know, what, 3 years ago, was because there was such a lot of enthusiasm through Twitter of language teachers all connecting with each other all over the country. But because I'd used Flash Meeting myself since about 2007, I thought, wouldn't it be a great idea, you know, to have basically have an experiment similar to what we're doing right now, to use Flash Meeting to bring people together, and people literally went out and, you know, bought webcams and bought microphones because they were so enthused by the sharing that was happening via Twitter. And obviously people have been sharing for years prior to that via forums and what have you, but the whole the Twitter phenomenon had absolutely infused all these people that were into tech anyway, I suppose. So in that sense, they didn't have to have their, you know, hearts and minds convinced, as it were. But as I said, they literally went out and bought hardware to take part in this, and it was just wonderful. It just, you know, it just went from there, really. So I think from the point of view of persuading people this is a good idea, I think that it'll be easy for the people. But this has always been the case with tech, and I find that for years, actually, when we're talking in webinars or whatever, that this question always comes up. You know, how do you get people into this sort of thing who aren't into it? And that can take a lot of time. But certainly, I think the starting point with Google Hangouts on Air is to try and draw on the Twitter community, and then see what that takes us. Maybe do an EdTech Roundup on. I know that there have been some, haven't there, using Google Hangouts with EdTech Roundup, but there's not been ones that have been recorded, I don't think, anyway. So that could possibly be a way in, and just then really go from there, really. But I think you're exactly right, Leon, that we're all used to appearing on video and appearing on the web and everything, but I'm sure there would be a lot of people who would feel very uncomfortable about that, it would be tricky to persuade them.
And I'd just like to say hello to Alan O'Donoghue, who's a big stalwart of the computer science community, joined us again. Another cross-fertilisation, which is brilliant, because this lends itself to that. But of course, if you stick up this on a whiteboard and you facilitate it through someone who is au fait with doing it, and other people can lurk in the room and see it, and can someone can sort of interpret or orchestrate for rooms of people, you've then got it modeled for people in a much bigger way. You can magnify the way you use this resource, and it just seems to me that there are so many different ways of doing it in so many different communities, but what would be nice, it would be to have a few sort of ground rules for hubs. That's the thing that I think needs to happen. We're in at the beginning. Why, everyone's smart enough here to be able to sort of pull this together. Alan, what do you think about this whole scene at the moment? And welcome.
You just talked about the Hangouts in particular, I presume.
Yeah, in terms of a CPD tool and how it could be used.
Well, I think it's got fantastic potential, because you've seen how the rise of Teach Meets have taken over the country by storm. But a part of the problems with some of the Teach Meets, they're in long, thin branches, and you can't always get to where they are. I mean, this now offers the potential to do a Teach Meet online, and for people to be creative in a whole other medium about how they're going to present their thoughts and ideas. And I wish I could have joined later, but I just had to drop my daughter off earlier.
But that's the point. You can do that and then come and do this, and you don't have to travel, and there's no cost. That's the amazing thing. Just say hello to Lisa, who's popping off and joining in. But people are beginning to sort of join. Glenn Gilchrist has joined us as well. Hello, Glenn. I think he's coming in. So I'd really like to just open it out to people in terms of thinking about, would they use this for CPD? How it would be used for CPD? What are some of the issues? What are some of the pluses and some of the negatives in terms of your subject specialist area, or how you bring people together in what you do?
Well, Can I just comment on the video question? You know, I mean, is it? I mean, that because that is a. I mean, it's a.